I'd like to call to order the meeting of the West Lafayette Community School Corporation, Board of School Trustees, Wednesday, May 1st. This is no joke. 2009, 6:37. Feel free to groan at that point. Thank you. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda for this evening's meeting. The revised agenda that's in front of you right now.
So moved.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here you go. Moved by Mr. Karfik, seconded by Mrs. Springer. Discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries. The agenda, the revised agenda is approved. Approval of the minutes of the regular board of trustees meeting, March 4th. And that is item B in your packet.
Move approval of the minutes.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Burnett, not Mr. Begat. Seconded by Mrs. Roush. We need to change that spelling. Discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. Communication from the audience is the next item on the agenda. And we are talking about administrative reconfiguration. And
funding options.
Sure. Okay. And that's a non-agenda item.
Well, it all kind of comes into the...
Okay. All right. Diane Masters, could you tell us your, give us your address and then...
Well, sure.
Then speak.
I'm Diane Masters. I live in North Chauncey at 802 North Chauncey, North Lafayette. I came to the school board meeting because I know a lot of teachers have been ripped this week, and one of the things that's being talked about is funding reconfiguration. I mean, teachers, school administration reconfiguration.
Administrative reconfiguration, yeah.
I just got a letter from where I went to college, which has a similar problem. And they have quite a lengthy list of things that they're doing to try to make up for their budget issues, and I wanted to share them with you. Which will also bring some light into some of the things that are going on at Purdue now, which just came out about freezes that are going on at Purdue.
Is this a list of items?
These are just ideas, which I think are very valuable for the school corporation to consider.
Is there any way we can copy this?
Yes, but I'd like to say it out loud.
Okay.
We just don't have to take Helen too long the notes. I think
yeah, Helen won't have to take all these notes then. That's what I'm saying.
That oh, that's
you'll,
okay.
That you'll give her
it's
this. Okay.
Salaries of administrators earning over $50,000 a year will not receive an increase in 2009-2010. Overtime, casual, and seasonal employees will be controlled as much as possible. All non-compensation budget expenses have been reduced. Purdue just announced a complete salary freeze as well. And I think given the short issues that we've had, if we've gone to any of Rocky's talks about funding and all the various ways we have a huge problem coming up, it seems to me that a show of great leadership would be to say, charity begins at home, and we're all going to take a pay cut as well, you know, because, for example, Hewlett-Packard's entire workforce took a 5% salary cut so that other people wouldn't lose their job. And I'd just like to put that kind of leadership out there. I know, you know, people can say, oh, well, we've got a contract, and this says we will honor all union contracts. But if you're going to go out there begging and asking people to give money to a foundation, the most successful way to do it is by saying, I personally am making this sacrifice. Whether that's furloughing so that you work 10 less days a year, but I just like the board to consider those kinds of options.
We are considering that, and we have considered that. Go ahead.
Okay, well, that's my suggestion.
Okay, that's great. And as a matter of fact, last year Rocky did take a pay cut, and our administrators, I believe, have agreed to take no raises. I'm not sure for how long, but they're very much into this, and we are working with administrators and teachers with WLEA to be efficient and economically prudent at the same time. And the teachers have been aware of everything we have done. And I think if Mary Beth would like to speak to that, I'm not pressuring you or anything, but your suggestions, and I'm very well aware of what's happening with Purdue, with my position as a spouse in the community, but I really do appreciate that, what you're saying, that we have considered that and we are considering that. No, the final decisions have not been made. But I do appreciate that, and if you could give that to Helen and she can copy, that'd be great. Thank you very much. Mary Beth, do you want to say anything or not?
Sure. We as WLEA have and continue to look at all sorts of options through leadership of the board and Rocky and our fellow administrators. We've been very willing to turn over every rock possible and to look in every corner and try to come up with those types of creative ideas. And so all of the suggestions we can give, certainly we're always open to listening.
Yeah, and we'll take suggestions anywhere, in any form, to deal with that. We think we are acting very prudently right now.
Yeah. And there will be more discussion of our budget issues at the April 15th meeting. Preliminary notices went out to possibility of RIFs. Reductions in force won't be determined until the end of the month because we're exploring, I don't know, Mary Beth, what we got about 30 plus options that we're currently negotiating, discussing, to see if there are other things that we can do.
And I don't know, on the news, you know, you hear the things that West Lafayette's riffing. We're telling people there's a possibility that their positions will be ripped, and that is only the right thing to do, not to wait until the last minute and say, there is no job for you. We're just trying to be compassionate in the decisions that we're making, in addition to being economically prudent. So, anybody else?
In adhering to the law.
We're bound to state statute.
Yeah, the state law, we're abiding by the guidelines set up by state law as well. Anyone else wish to speak? You've had a change of heart, and now you want to address the board because you have something very important to say. Okay. Kathleen, I gave you that open.
I was thinking.
Okay, all right. Unfinished business. Okay. New business. Happy Hollow Schools concepts. We don't have a handout, but it's in our...
It will be coming. Jerry and Phil are here, and they're here to discuss with you some things about option B. Gerard's on vacation, so he's sending the heavy hitters today.
Thank you.
I think that Jerry and Phil have some, I think, good information to consider with regards to the focus. If indeed option B seems to be the best for our students and our staff, and it's really more, it's not classroom additions as it is giving us an LGI room and giving us a better cafeteria and then just doing some remodeling down the road. So I'm going to turn it over to them and let them discuss with you a little bit about some thoughts and timelines, etc.
You just received the revised option B and that project schedule. Last time Gerard was here, he presented options A, B, D, and F, as you may recall. And the interest was in option B.
May I stop you a minute?
Sure.
Do you have extra copies? Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So people can see what we're talking about. Maybe share if there aren't enough.
Go ahead and get them this
Bill, Jerry, sure. You can use mine too. I know.
Rocky and I can share.
I know you guys are rolling on.
Anybody else need one?
So we investigated B and are combining E and F, but after meeting with
Sarah,
that option B was the preferred one, and that was the impression that Gerard got from the last board meeting. So with the revision, we've slid over the the cafeteria and made it more of a rectangular box for economy and construction. Made some, incorporated the stage and just showed the seating layout to achieve the needs of the school. After talking to one source, we feel like we can get this NS budget of about $1.3 million. We think we have some other sources that we can talk to and work out some other means of keeping it at the $1.3 million budget that Dr. Killian has suggested that the CAP project act. And during that process, we'll work with either contractor contacts that we have or estimators and get some prices on just different materials and running ideas through Larry Wood and Bob Troyer on different scenarios to keep it at the $1.3 million budget.
We also discussed the idea of trying to build something that would allow us to add brick later on. So if you had the footers a little wider. So a couple of years down the road, if we did precast, you could also then, down the road, if we wanted to add brick, if we came up with the resources.
Sort of the veneer sort of.
Mm-hmm. Another thought that we discussed is instead of us coming up with someone that could help us do the mini bids and be the bid strategy person, let OMS go out and do that and find, whether it's a Tecton or someone else, let OMS be the person in charge. They have the bonding, they have the capability. They've been in contact with Mike Wittevine at Tecton. There are a variety of things that I think OMS could do on their own to try to help drive these costs and let them oversee that process as opposed to us getting involved with, now we've got two folks or two groups that we're juggling with.
In that scenario, we work with them and help figure out better construction methods if there's something that we just need more input from a contractor's point of view and so forth. And then, you know, bid as a single prime or have a general contractor. And the big advantage to that is if there's an issue during construction, there's, from the school's point of view, there's one point of contact, then it's their responsibility to take care of it. And if there's anything after construction, within the first year of warranty, you know, there's a single source, there's no finger pointing between contractors if there's a disagreement on what the issue is. And it's just one source and we're done.
So if we brought in somebody and they're not bonded, and then something goes wrong, and you get into finger pointing, whereas OMS could oversee that and protect us from that bonding issue and make sure that the people that are working with us are bonded, and they could do the pre-hope, pre-bidding scheme, and then take that idea and work with it. Just a thought, just throwing out some ideas.
Mm-hmm. We're here to get approval from board for this option and to move forward with option B and tonight so we can meet the schedule that the updated schedule that I just handed out.
And have the Happy Hollow teachers seen this and relatively happy with this?
Thank you. Mary Beth Whitman is here representing the committee, and this is, I believe, in fact, exactly what we were hoping for. Is that?
Yes. I think that's a headline. I'm not sure, but that sounds like a headline.
And it might be a first.
Write it down, Miranda.
Okay. The middleman person that you would choose who would look into bids and choices, I mean, the cost effectiveness, would that be the same person throughout, or would you pick different people to do that periodically? Or that's kind of what I picked up, but I didn't.
During the design phase, while we're putting the drawings together and the drawing, just the design, we'd meet with the reps for the, if we chose to do precast that Dr. Stanley mentioned, we get with a rep and find out what cost that is per square foot for this size of project, and then get some estimates for carpeting, or we could have a third-party estimator look at the drawings and give us a number of what they would estimate it for, and then we send the drawings out to bid, and sort of the same scenario that Cumberland was done in.
But OMS would ultimately be in charge of the project?
The budget during,
yes.
Yeah,
okay.
During the design.
And we would have some kind of assurance that the budget would not go over the 1.3?
We can't guarantee it, but we will work towards that 1.3 with our estimator and as many sources as we can to for input.
And if it would happen to be tending toward going over, I'm sure you would come back and talk with us.
Yeah, during the design phase, if we saw that it was going over budget, we'd look at other solutions to keep it at the 1.3. And then we'd work with Dr. Killian, Sally, Larry, and Bob on different solutions to make sure we're there.
Also, we could do what we did with Cumberland when the bids came in and they were too high. You just rebid.
Yeah.
And they came in lower. They came in almost $100,000 lower just because we did a rebid, didn't even change anything.
And it is a good market right now for bidding.
It's a believable market.
Yeah, and we're, by making these changes, we will be giving present and future students what they actually need right now. You know, so Diane,
I have one question, if I may pose this, and that is, you know, as we have designed this LGI room, you know, OMS has put chairs in there to indicate the number of people that you can accommodate,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want chairs in there. We want some kind of retractable seating. You know, we want to use that space for things like science exhibits and dancing and all kinds of activities. And the whole point of stacking up chairs and pushing them to one side. So I don't know if that's some more information, Philip, we might need to get. But
I think it probably is.
And that'd be one example of that. I think we talked about the last meeting with sleepers. And that may be a loose equipment item that we have to do as an alternate bid. And then if the bids come in great, we could take that. If not, we have the shell. We have the building to work with, and maybe the bleachers are added later.
As money.
But we're talking about movable seating of some kind in there. Okay, Kathy, do you?
I was just curious, is this the same square footage that we were looking at in the other options? This option B, is that a real, we've been talking about 10,000 square feet the whole time.
It's a little larger.
600 square feet.
Okay, because I know we had a little bit of concern whether the previous pictures, which I didn't bring, I forgot to bring, if there was actually enough seating in the cafeteria. So this is a little bit reconfigured, and I see the stage has been moved.
Yes,
that was out of there. Mm-hmm. So
that's more appropriate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seems like.
Yeah, I think this is great.
Hey, Diane, I see you have questions.
I just have two questions, one of which is, it seems to me, and I know you can do this because we've done it on our house and we've done it for another building project I was involved in Washington, D.C., any overages would be taken out of your fee as opposed to coming back, and that's a much stronger way to keep accountability and not having costs overrun. And the same is true, by the way, when you go out and you look at hiring fundraisers, instead of paying them a fee, whether or not they get bring you any money, only give them a percentage of what they bring in to the school corporation. I know there's a talk later on about hiring fundraising consultants, but literally, this way you're not paying out of pocket, and you're protected doubly against cost overruns and building situations.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to excuse myself. We have a fifth grade parent camp meeting and next door. So if there's anything else that I could answer for you, I would like to do so at this time.
Have fun camping.
Thank you, Sally. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other? Okay. We do need a motion here to press on with this issue. I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. If you would like this concept,
this is what the teachers want.
You know, the next step will be getting into specific drawings and concepts and pre-bidding numbers, that sort of thing.
And the details of the contract with OMS.
Correct.
So, all right.
So if you guys bond this as a single project, that means that you've got financial responsibility for the whole project.
Yeah.
Correct?
DC does.
We would not.
No, we would not be acting as the biller.
Okay.
And we don't have the capability to. Our insurance doesn't cover that.
Okay.
We are a designer. Your builder is the one who would hold the bond. And whatever contract you have for this project, whether it's a single prime, it's two, three, or four primes, or even more, each one of those contracts with the school corporation is going to have a bond with the school corporation.
And that's what we require, Brad, with OMS, that anybody that we bring in will
bond. So that's the specification. That's what I'm saying.
Correct. It's your front-end specifications, your specifications for the project, your contract documents that will specify what those requirements are.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
My comment's just one. I just have one. I noticed that each room only seats 160. The current fourth grade class is at 155. What are we going to do in our hopes to have increased enrollment? When you count the seats that are in the cafeteria, there's 160. When you count that are in the LGI room, it's 160 also.
We just have to do what we're currently doing. If you run out of ancillary space in the school, then you have to start doing some split scheduling, some juggling.
Did we still consider a possibility of having an open, I know that's cost, that's probably why this went away, potentially being able to open up this, I mean, two adjacent, like a...
Is Mary Beth here? Did you all talk about a folding partition between, or having that the wall movable between the cafeteria and the LGI? Was that ever a discussion? Did you guys discuss that?
It was discussed, but not with this option.
Okay.
But I am concerned about the size. We do so many activities for the whole student body, and we don't have the option of, if a guest comes, for instance, to ask them to present three times, I am a little concerned about that. And I didn't know if this vote, after this vote, if this can be played with a little bit as far as where the wall actually is. And I think retracting the wall would be a bit.
Oh yeah, this is all all I think the board is considering tonight is just this concept that we've got the LGI, we got the cafeteria, and the classrooms will be just a remodeling of the lunchroom, and then we'll start bringing to bear some very specifics to each of those facilities and what we can and can't do.
Yeah, I was just hoping we could brainstorm that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Exactly right. We can talk about having that removable wall or operable partition, and
sure.
We did those classroom work as an alternate bid to help protect us at bid day.
Sure.
Yeah, this is not finalized. We still have a few more meetings with Sally and staff.
But you need to know which one to land on so you can start putting real link to the paper.
Yeah. And our final budget number.
I move that we proceed with this as a preliminary drawing, and that they continue to pursue this and bring us back more details, and we'll continue the project.
Proceed with option B from that OMS has presented, not as the final, but as the second. Okay. Moved by Mrs. Anderson, seconded by Mrs. Roush. Discussion by the board? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. We are moving forward. That's exciting. That's
thank
very
you.
Exciting.
Thank you. Appreciate all your work, and thank you, Mary Beth. Happy Halloween, committee. Really appreciate all the work that you guys are putting into this. Thank you so much.
The next item on the agenda, Legacy Environmental Services proposal. We have talked with these people. They have been here presenting ideas to us. We were kind of excited about it. So,
one of the many options, the 30-plus options we're exploring and trying to save money, and one of the things that has come up time and time again from staff is that of writing grants, trying to capture money from grant sources. Also, we've got, I think, a perfect timing here to do some green initiatives with this project. With Legacy Environmental, they have their hands connected with Energy Star and the federal stimulus money. And so I think on a very short-term basis, what I would recommend is that we give them a shot at trying to capture some stimulus money, some grants over the next 4 to 6 months, and see what we can come up with, and try to even capture money for this project, because maybe there's a way we can do more with the Happy Hollow project if we get some grants for energy efficient lighting, energy efficient doors, energy efficient, you know, whatever they can capture. And so I'm recommending approval on a short-term basis, the idea of Legacy Environmental. This would come out of CPF. It does not affect general fund whatsoever. And if we are to capture money, I think it would be a great benefit and help us capture some dollars that ordinarily we might not be able to get. Plus, I don't have a great large number of staff to do a lot of grant writing. So this, I think, could be very helpful to us.
I move approval that we follow Dr. Killian's recommendation and continue this. Yes, our legacy, as he stated, is short-term.
Do we need to determine what short-term means, or just say short-term?
I'd say 6 months. I say we give it 6 months and see what we gather, and each month or so I'll come back and have them come back, or I'll come back and let you know where we are with particular grants and the grants that are being written and submitted. And
so the motion should be as per the proposal that we got tonight. I'm sorry.
Moved by Mrs. Anderson, seconded by Mr. Karpik, that we proceed with the Legacy Environmental Services proposal, as indicated in their proposal, for a six-month period. Discussion?
They had said, too, that the ballpark, the dollar, the hourly rate is there, but the ballpark figure was $2,000 to $3,000 they would feel would be.
Okay. Other comments, too?
Will they be providing any input into the Happy Hollow?
Yes.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is have them, I talked to Larry and Bob, they're going to be part of the planning with them, and then as they start now putting some very good specifics on paper, they'll go out and start trying to get some stimulus money to help us capture some dollars to help us with windows and whatever else they can come up with.
That's good.
Larry's going to coordinate them. He's worked with them quite a lot before, and he will make sure, he and Bob will make sure that they're connected with the Happy Hollow project.
With this being funded entirely from CPF, I see this as a completely win-win situation. Potentially, any proceeds go completely to the general fund without any potential cost or risk to general funding, so I can't see any reason why not to do it.
For lack of a better way of casting this, is this hourly rate sort of a market rate for grant writing services?
I think it's a little low. I've had other grant writers propose things, and they've been in, their costs have been much greater than this. Mm-hmm. I have tried to get people to write grants for any grant they capture, they get a percentage.
Right.
But I've not had any success getting people to say to our school district, we would be willing to do that. And these folks know education. They write grants for school districts all across the state, and they've been very successful.
Any further discussion?
I just have one last one.
Okay.
Under their assumptions, on page 3, the second bullet point, they talk about the scope of work, not including potential add-on sort of projects. I think it'd be helpful to know if they were providing those services, whether they would be charging the same hourly rate as they would for the grant writing.
Sure. If we did add-ons, that would come back to the board for official approval, and we would have to disclose what those add-ons would be and the scope of those add-ons.
Okay.
Any further comments? All in favor of proceeding with the Legacy Environmental Grant Writing Services, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Strategic plan process, and this is pretty well in place as far as the guess wishes are concerned.
Well, we're getting there.
The process, though.
We're getting there. We did make contact with Richard Kozer, Craner School of Business. He did say for the commitment to the school corporation strategic planning, it would be something very difficult for staff members on a long term to commit, but he did suggest the idea of master students doing the project. And I think this is beyond the scope of master students doing the project. I did talk with Dr. Hummel after the parent council meeting, and he echoed the same thing Richard Kozer told me. And so, you know, I think that we should continue on with the idea that we have an educator who has been involved with strategic planning for 22 plus years come in, and I'm happy to report that we can do this through a donation, that we wouldn't even have to pay anything out of CPF, any taxpayer money, any of our funds. We had a generous donation from an estate, and we could pay Dr. Emmerich's $500 per day diem for 3 days out of that, as well as the cost for the teacher stipends, because we would have teachers giving 3 days, and for the contract, their teacher stipends. So we could do the whole thing without any cost to any of our funds.
That's great.
Last question. The mission of Purdue University is extension and engagement, and I'm wondering if you approach Vic Lechtenberg, who's the vice provost for engagement, who literally, their job is to go out and help
form. I know that, Diane, and I know that. And we're pretty well set on having a K through 12 educator helping us with this strategy. I do appreciate that. I know Vic very well. I know Rick very well. I think this is something that's going to require some intense time on our part. We want to begin in June, and I think requesting something from Vic right now is too short of a time period to say we want your concentrated effort on this. I think the board has thought about this. We're going with what Rocky has suggested. Rocky is our educational leader, and we're going with his suggestions. Pardon me?
When was the last time the school corporation did a strategic plan?
Karen?
No. 6 or 7 years.
No, it's been done before.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, we've started it on and off over the last 10 years, 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, and
we're in real need.
And I feel, and I would echo what Diane has said, that by having a K through 12 educator who knows the K through 12 education system, not only locally but on the state level, that I feel that we would get a plan that we want and a plan that we can build consensus on and a plan that we will be able to implement.
Also, I would want to give you some background. Dr. Emmerich, she served on the National Board of Education. It was an appointment by President Clinton. She was one of 2 superintendents in the state of Indiana selected.
So, can I volunteer to be on the strategic plan?
Well, that's one of the things we're going to talk about, is parental involvement or patron involvement in this. So that's one of the details that has to be worked out. So
I'm recommending that we contract with Dr. Emmerich for the strategic plan. It would be on June 9th, 10th, and 11th. 9th and 10th would be 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and June 11th would be 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and that would get the start. That would get us the consensus on vision and mission, as well as our 5-year strategic goals. And it's going to cover finance, it's going to cover facilities, it's going to cover curriculum and instruction, it's going to cover a variety of important issues that we're going to face over the next 5 years. And thanks to Connie and John, Ivy Tech is donating our rooms for those 3 days free of charge. So I think that is a good site for us to utilize. So I'm just recommending this process to you so that we can move forward with selection of those that would be involved with the strategic planning committee.
And I think, just for clarification's sake, Rocky is further suggesting, can I go ahead and leave those?
Sure, absolutely.
Participation of 3 school board members, 4 building administrators, 3 corporation administrators, 6 teachers, 4 classified staff members. I mean, he's covering the spectrum. 4 parents, 4 business representatives who may in fact be parents as well, a Purdue representative, a city representative, a legislative representative, and a county representative. This is the committee, the makeup of the committee that I'm sure he's been talking with Dr. Emmerich about, so we can have a well-rounded group of people coming together to propose this strategic plan.
And I'd recommend, I think there'll be a lot of parents that might be interested in doing this, and being that we can't have a committee of 100 or even 50, that we offer volunteers of parents who are interested, and if we have a large number, we do it either by lottery or just a random drawing so that there's equal opportunities for selection.
Okay.
The WLEA will appoint the teachers to that, and then I think there are specific folks that we would try to get a hold of to represent Purdue and the city and the legislative and the county legislators, because those folks have an impact on what we do as well, and I think that they need to be a part of it.
Can I recommend you get somebody from the Area Planning Commission, because they're really tracking the demographics of the community, and that's the hugest, the most important part of the population.
Sure. Yep. Very good.
Good suggestion. We need a motion.
Move that we approve the strategic planning process as set forth.
Second. Moved by Mr. Gannett, seconded by, who was it? Mrs. Springer. That we move forward with the strategic plan process as presented by Dr. Killian. Further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. Do you realize how early that is on those days? I'm excited to see her.
She will crack the whip on us, I'm telling you.
On a Diet Coke.
She's done a lot of strategic planning.
Yeah.
She knows how to get there.
Item D, Instructional Technology Integration Specialist.
I like that name. It is.
It is.
As you might recall, we did a technology reconfiguration in January in which we did a lateral transfer of our Director of Technology into maintenance, because we had a maintenance opening position. And we've been without a Director of Technology for few months, saving us some CPF dollars, and that's given the administration and the technology specialist time to come up with a vision and maybe a reconfiguration, if you will, of how we want our technology department to operate. And one of the visions, or the vision that we've come up with, is having a technology specialist that can help us drive technology in the classroom to improve instruction. And so what I have at your place is a proposal for the job description. This has gone through several revisions. You've seen an earlier revision of this a while back at a work session. Since then, and thanks to the hard work of Kim Bauer, I think I saw Kim and Ben, and with the help of Zach and with Mark and the other administrators, we have redefined this job description, and we're looking for someone who's a mastery teacher, a master teacher, someone that is a leader, someone who knows technology and can help teachers utilize technology in the classroom for effective instruction. That's really what we're interested in doing. And if we do this right, I know that I've got several folks that are in the teaching ranks that might consider retiring and moving into the classified ranks to do this, and this comes out of CPF, and that's another cost-saving idea that we could have to help save general funds and help save some teaching jobs. And I have had multiple discussions with the WLEA about this philosophy, and I think that we're all on the same page with regards to this idea. And my administrators are here, and Zach's here, and they can answer or speak to this, as well as I think everyone's very comfortable with this process and moving it forward to try to do something a little different in technology than what we've done in the past.
And I have to add that I think missing the teaching component as far as technology aid has been a detriment as far as, you know, somebody coming in and saying, this is what you need to do. And our tech guys are great because they have learned what teachers need to know. But having someone who has done it himself or herself would be, I think, fantastic.
Well, Mark Boyd, I think, said it so clearly at our last meeting. He said, this is something we've been waiting for 5+ years.
Yeah.
Something like this. And so I am listening very carefully to their needs, and I think this does meet a need in our school district.
And also, as this person would get in place and things would happen, the position can evolve a little bit too if this particular description or expectations don't turn out to be exactly what people really needed or wanted.
Sure.
It can always be tweaked along that level, but I think it's an excellent, excellent
idea.
Yeah.
So I'm asking your approval of the instructional technology integration specialist position, and then the next step would be to create a posting to which we can move forward with posting the position based upon this job description so that we could get started trying to see how much internal interest we would have first mm-hmm. with some folks.
Can we post just internally? Just
mm-hmm. Yes, just to start with.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Karpik, seconded by Mrs. Anderson. Discussion. All in favor of establishing this position, this it is position, and creating the posting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Summer school program.
Well, we're in the midst of finalizing summer school. I think that there are some things that we need to do this year in fairness to everyone who's been anticipating certain things. But I also think that next year we ought to reconsider some things and start making those announcements now so everyone has fair warning of that. Because last year we spent $52,000 in summer school, and if we're trying to save some costs, so we are to try to, $55,000 for mm-hmm. summer school. We need to start looking at maybe doing things a little differently with regards to summer school. One of the things, though, that the reason that we did $55,000 is because we expect a certain amount of money from the state, and then when the state can't give it to us, it of course reduces those costs that you're expecting, so that's why it was a little high last year. So this year, what I'm recommending is that we continue on with the physical education at the high school for this year. That would be June 1 through June 26th. That's funded under Category 1, which if the state were to give us all the money that they said they would, that it's 100% funded. But last year, I think we got 70% of the 100%. But in fairness to our kids who are expecting to have summer school, we should go ahead and do that. Now, one of the things that we're not offering this year, or not recommending that we offer this year, nor do we feel we need to, is health. We had health last year, so that will save us a little bit in summer school if we just did the physical education. Another class that if we can get up to 15 is biology AP. There's always seems to be an interest in that class. That's 105% of cost, and again we only got 70% last year, but hopefully we'll get closer to 100%. And then orchestra and band, those are very important times for our young kids to start learning instruments as well as preparing for their futures and the other programs as they move up the grade level system. That's at a 50% cost, so that's where a lot of our costs come in for orchestra band. And I did talk to Matt today, and I would recommend that next year the entire program be funded by student fees. And we still run the program, but we do it as a student fee based as opposed to the school district paying for the cost. It's a thought, a discussion, and Matt seemed very open to that. And we do need to have remediation. Talked with the high school guys and junior, senior high school, I-STEP, GQE preparation camp, and those are through state remediation funds. So we feel pretty confident we're going to get that funding. One of the things we won't offer this year is a jump start like we did in the past. Kim and Sally believe that we can do jump start in the fall with some homework clubs and get the same benefit for a reduction of the cost. Also, I would say that back to the PE, I think this should be the last year we offer PE during summer school, because it's not a student population issue. It's not an enrollment issue that we offer it. We offer it more out of convenience than student population or student enrollment numbers. And what happens is we've got, I think, 55 this year that possibly would take PE. And so what Ron and Dan and the guidance counselors have to do then is come up with electives for those kids to take, and it's costing us a little bit more during the school year to come up with those electives. And so it's my recommendation that this be last year we do PE, unless it's an enrollment issue. In other words, we're growing and we don't have enough sections during the school year to do PE. Therefore, we need to offer PE in the summertime.
Okay. And in the future, if something happens where money's become available, we can again
reinstate
offer PE. But right now, the general fund monies are of prime importance. Diane?
Just please consider this. For kids who want to take advantage of going to Purdue to take college-level courses when you don't have enough classes, my daughter is a perfect example of someone who you ran out of classes for in math, and she has to have two periods back-to-back where she can go to Purdue.
Right.
So you're...
That's long been practiced.
Yes. So
go ahead.
They need to be able to free up PE to have the opportunity and help. So otherwise you might be losing revenue by having people do it online or other things. I mean, I'm just saying that given that you care so much about the achievement of your students, you have to have a way for them to take advantage of opportunities.
Kathy, thank you.
Dan, I really appreciate that you're here and that you're interested, but I have to tell you, I'm getting really frustrated that the board isn't having a chance to even discuss among ourselves what we're having on our agenda tonight before you interrupt us. You need to wait, be recognized by the president of the school board, or wait for her to ask if there are questions from the audience. We're trying to have a business meeting here, and it's very difficult to stay focused when you keep jumping in to the middle of our discussion. I'm sorry. So if you could just wait until we finished our discussion, and then if you have a question, ask to be recognized by the board president. And I personally would really appreciate that.
And in all fairness, there's an opportunity for the audience to speak at the beginning and the end, and this is a business meeting. So thank you. Okay. Where are we with this? The concept of the PE business, as a former teacher who really wanted electives to be available to students, I appreciated the opportunity for kids to be able to take PE in the summer. And when monies become available, I would like to go back to that because I
need to.
Having the electives is such a plus for kids. But right now, it is not economically prudent. And again, I'm saying that phrase.
And it may be next year.
Yeah.
It may be next year. I'm just saying that we ought to let everyone know now. There's a great possibility that we won't be offering PE next summer if we're indeed in the same financial situation that we're facing with the state this year.
Was there a possibility for a pay per fee rather than pay
we
per
can't
play.
Offer it for credit if we charge fees. We can't. Okay. And we can't
because
ask
it's
for
a required
funding. Right.
Class.
We can't ask for funding.
What would be the ballpark for fees for PE for the summer? Do you have any idea?
Well, it depends on how many sections you would have and who teaches it. You'd have to figure out their hourly rate. I'm going to guess probably about $100 a child. I mean, that's off the top of my head.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo what Diane said about the electives, and I understand this is an economic crisis we're in for this round of funds, but I really hope we keep in mind the reason this was started, and it goes into what we started as an initiative on the board 3-4 years ago with IREN. We looked at more AP classes, we initiated foreign language in the 8th grade, because we wanted to give the kids an opportunity to jump into their high school curriculum, get some of these things out of the way early to give them more opportunities and give them more breadth in their academic careers in the high school. And so I really hate to see this go away because it opens up a lot of scheduling for people, the health and the PE.
Absolutely.
That's why so many people want to take it.
Mm-hmm.
It just really makes it nice. And I understand that you can say, well, it makes it hard because we have to find electives for people. Well, that's what we're here for. The electives are important. It's, we should be finding electives for these kids because they're there. They shouldn't be wasting their time in high school taking things that don't really mean anything to them in their big life picture so much. I'm not against PE. I think it's wonderful. Everybody needs exercise, but not at the expense of academics is my personal opinion. So I understand the need for the funding, but I'm really hoping.
Well, that's why I'm saying this year, let's go ahead and do it in fairness to human beings.
Right.
And the kids that are preparing to do this. And if indeed we've got to rift teachers next year because the state's economy is going downhill instead of uphill, I think we need to be prepared to say, do we want to pay $55,000 for summer school, or do we want to save a teaching position during the school year? Those are some tough choices.
Oh, yeah, I understand that completely. Yeah. I agree. The band one,
let me say something about the PE one first, and then go to that one. I would like to see the motion read that there's a possibility, as opposed to an absolute, that PE will not be offered last year. And we can still inform parents and counselors who will be working with kids on their four-year plans, that kind of thing.
I think Ron said that probably the earliest we would have to notify would be January, in January of 2010, and we'll know more by then, but I just want to give everybody fair warning that this might be something we have to
be aware of. Yeah, absolutely.
It's, because, you know, again, the electives to me are, in addition to the core curriculum, those electives offer so much to kids. And again, nothing against PE. go ahead.
I'd like to expand summer school. I think we should be doing a lot
more. That'd be great.
But we just don't have the wherewithal, and the state doesn't give us the 100% funding like they say.
Say they're going to.
Maybe that's part of the problem. We should find out why they're not funding it if they're supposed to be. The other question I had was the band for this coming summer, that we're offering it, but is there a reason we can't ask them to pay now? Why are we waiting?
I talked to Matt, and he's afraid that folks won't be prepared to be able to pay for the fee. And I don't want to hurt the program. We do get up to 50% funding for it. And we did talk about, though, him charging fees for consumables. We can't charge fees for the teacher salary, et cetera, for asking for reimbursement. But what he can do is charge fees for consumables, for the music, for some other things that would be, of course, thrown away and we'd have to, purchase again. So he is going to explore with the music department adding some consumable fees that will help us reduce those costs. So I think that's a good balance as opposed to surprising on everybody that we have to come up with a lot of money for the band and orchestra at this time.
Well, I know my kids have done summer band, and I've always been surprised that it's free.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I signed up the kids for summer, it's a huge program. It's a lot of hours for a lot of days.
Yeah.
And I've always thought it was just amazing that there wasn't a fee for that. And I think a lot of parents would be just fine with paying something. Maybe we should just see if anyone's interested in donations.
Yeah.
But I really think it's an important program.
I think the consumable idea, though, is a workable way, and we can ask for reimbursement and get some consumables paid for without us having to pay for it. Yeah. And then Matt's thinking about next year, rather than having a multiple week session, doing it by totally fee-based and having it for 1 week, 8 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock at night, and doing a concert on Friday.
It's like a camp. Sort
yeah,
of
camp. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting
idea. That's an interesting idea.
I'm kind of concerned about the motion that we need to make simply to revise the summer school offerings as opposed to the specifics here. That's what
I think the recommendation would be the summer school offerings as presented with continuing to look at what offerings we could offer for 2010 summer school with potential that some of these classes may not be offered next year if the funding continues to
continued
decline.
Continued research into the
and don't ask me
economic,
to repeat that.
No.
Helen got that, didn't you, Helen?
Approve the recommendation for summer programs with continued research into same, basically. Right. Is that?
Well, with a possible understanding.
Yeah, I think it needs to
say that. You know, I want people to know there could be a possibility we don't do PE next year if we don't have the funding or capability.
What's
fund PE?
What's the best way to to make sure that everybody knows that, through the counselors at...
We'll have Ron and Dan and the guidance counselors start making that information known. We thought about starting that early in the fall with when we do registration, just letting folks know as the incoming eighth graders come in, hey, there could be a chance we don't have PE in the summer school. We won't know until January.
Yeah, pretty good chance.
February.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, who wants to phrase that motion? Alan?
How's it phrased? Throw back at Helen here.
We recommend the summer school programs proposed by Dr. Killian.
With an understanding of that it'll be assessed and evaluated.
And not all same offerings might not be offered next summer.
With the understanding that it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a distinct possibility that.
Okay.
Who's on first?
Helen, do you need to read that back? Are we comfortable with it?
I'm comfortable.
Okay.
I've got something.
Okay. All right. We have a motion. We need a second. Moved by Mr. Karpik in committee, seconded by Mrs. Rausch. Now discussion. Further discussion. Okay. I think we're pretty comfortable with that. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Registration dates.
We have an interesting concept to discuss. You know that thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's one. Here's a thought. And this was discussed with the administrators, and we'd like to try this. We're not sure how it will work, but we do think that there are some cost-saving capabilities for us with regards to staffing. If we were to offer registration August 11th through the 13th, 2009, and do all the registration at one central location for elementary, junior high, high school, and we'd have stations. And the reason we would do that is because we can take a whole host of folks and put them in one location. We get all the paperwork done in a timely fashion. We'd have Misty over there taking care of free and reduced lunch. We have one go-to person that can take care and streamline all of the paperwork, all of the same things that happen from building to building, and sitting and have multiple things going on. We have one person in charge of this, one person in charge of this, one person in charge of this, K through 12.
And this has been suggested by parents.
The same days, I know yeah. There's been a suggestion that we try to do it on the same days. We did that last year, but
the same location
is a little different. Now the question has come up, you know, what if kids want to go to their elementary buildings and see their classroom, etc. Kim and Sally have been talking about ways to accomplish that and have the building open so that then they can just go over and walk the school, and you know, there would be some things with regard to that. But especially with families that have children in multiple levels, you can just, you're at one place and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll work or not, but I'm just offering this as a thought, the suggestion. We do think it has some viability and could help with scheduling.
And the administrative team is fine with this? And
yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we're struggling with who goes where and who does what, but, you know, they're open to ideas. Look at them back there. I mean, look how creative their minds are. You know, they're in a creative mode.
They're not cowering under their chairs right now.
And then they could speak to it. I mean, you know, we know that there are some logistic issues and some other things that we're going to have to play through. Right, Dan?
I think the elementary principals are the key to it.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, if they are available, and obviously we have a lot of new students and parents, families throughout the summer coming in to enroll and see the building anyway, but then when they come back to register, we can make that process easier for the school.
Okay, I think it sounds kind of exciting. Sell cookies and athletic wear. Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Carnival. I'm serious.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, it doesn't, you know, just say,
let me try it.
Just put that on the, it didn't work, Rocky side. You know? We got the ongoing network that didn't, so.
Do we need to expand the number of days?
Well, we talked about that, and because you can register anytime after the 13th, you know.
Actually, then it would be in the schools.
Yeah. I mean, it's registration, that's just days where we can allow folks to come in and do it, but you can register anytime.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
What day does school actually start?
The first teacher day is August 14th, and the first student day is 17th, August 17th. Oh. Remember, we're starting a little later this year.
Right.
I've been listening.
Okay.
We're starting a little later this year. We're trying it.
Is this early enough? Have those teacher lists on class lists on August 17th.
Well, we tried to put it right back against the first teacher day so that we're just one day away from school starting on a weekday, so to speak. This is a Tuesday through Thursday, and the following Monday school starts.
Oh, yes. That's for me.
Interesting concept. And I have to thank Connie and Misty for coming up with that. That was their idea.
So if it doesn't work, you can blame the business office.
No. If it does work, you thank them. If it doesn't work, you blame me. There you go.
Okay. A motion to proceed with this simultaneous registration dates. Is that one?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Mr. Karpik, seconded by Mr. Marley. Discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Proposed administrative reconfiguration, Rocky?
Well, as you know, we're starting the process for trying to prepare for a decrease in general fund revenues. We're not sure how this is going to play out. We don't know how the stimulus money is going to work. We don't know if we're going to get straight line or we're going to get our budget's going to be decreased. Connie and Mike have been working very hard on trying to give us a ballpark figure of what we need to try to decrease in general funds. And right now, if everything holds true and we don't get any extra money, we're looking at cutting between $750,000 and $800,000 in revenue. And that's a very difficult thing to do. That's pretty much staffing. So we have an opportunity here with the retirement of Mr. Allen. And first, I'd like to thank Mr. Allen for his 3 years of service and the work that he's done here. With Mr. Allen retiring, I think we have two very competent gentlemen that can step into the ranks of head principal of the junior senior high and associate principal, and that's Mr. Schreiner and Mr. Walbaum. I'm very pleased with their work and what they do. And I would recommend to you that we consider for the time being that we not replace an administrator at the junior senior high school, and that Mr. Schreiner, effective July 1, 2009, be the principal of the junior senior high school, and that Dan Walbaum become the associate principal at the junior senior high school. And again, that would be effective July 1, 2009. I feel very strongly in this, and I think these two fine gentlemen will do a great job, and I promised that I would assist them, come over and help them. I used to do the lunch duty and all kinds of things, so if they get in a pinch, I will go over there and assist them as well. But we've got to start finding ways to cut general fund revenues, and this is one of the ways that we can do this by starting with this now. The savings, by the way, would be approximately a little over $100,000. So if you include FICA and insurance and everything, that's $100,000 savings in general fund if we do this.
Let's have a motion, please.
Move approval of the proposed administrative reconfiguration.
Second. Moved by Mr. Grouch, seconded by Mrs. Springer. Discussion. I would like to echo what Rocky has said. I have heard from faculty, staff, and parents and patrons that Mr. Schreiner and Mr. Walbaum have done stellar jobs in their positions, and I have a great deal of faith and confidence in their ability to continue.
So are we saving the assistant principal's salary, or They'll be moved into new positions with different pay scales than they have currently. So the one that'll fall off is the one that's no longer going to be in effect.
It's a combination.
Assistant.
A combination of that because of Mr. Allen, with everything, if you add everything to it, the retirement, the FICA, the health insurance, he's probably 115,000.
At least.
Yeah, 115,000. So when Ron and Dan move into their levels, you're saving approximately $100,000.
Okay.
Further discussion? All in favor of the proposed administrative reconfiguration, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Would you guys like to say anything? Speech?
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's also, we like to just say that we appreciate working with Larry. It's been a good experience with Mr. Allen. We're working on, like everybody else is around this table and in this office and the buildings, we're working on a lot of things that kind of forced upon us. And we're going to make this situation work. We've got some ideas we've been talking about. And we're looking forward to the next several months of trying to refine some of those ideas and working with Rocky, who has offered to help in any way he possibly can, although his biggest help might be to keep him over here.
How about this idea?
Can't we do that about once a day? Ron opened up his cabinet and says, you realize these are all the ideas that you've had since I've been here? How many of these have been accomplished? Oh, we're still thinking. One of them will take hold someday.
I think several of them already have, so... again, congratulations. Dan, did you want to say anything?
Well, really just echo what Mr. Schreiner said. We're really thankful for being able to work with Mr. Allen over the last 3 years. The last year, from my standpoint, obviously, in this role, once I left the classroom, and while we're going to be spending a lot of time planning, preparing for next school year and beyond, and certainly all three of us have jobs to do to make the end of this school year successful as possible as well.
Thank you.
I also want to say that we've talked with Brock, and Brock is the third administrator in that building, and Brock will be assisting with Dan and Ron on a variety of initiatives. Brock will help us with some things that will give us additional support over there.
And I know you too, and especially Ron, you have gone through several changes in the past couple of years, so I appreciate your willingness to be so flexible.
I just consider it like continuing education. I get paid to do it. So.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is an overnight field trip, and look at you, way ahead.
That's right. I want to just issue the point that we've still not had a field, well, one.
We
had one field trip go before it's time, but that was a mulligan.
Yeah.
So I'm recommending the fifth grade camp for Happy Hollows, the overnight session one, departing May 4th, coming back May 6th. Session two, departing May 6th and coming back May 8th. Recommending the out-of-state field trip of biology class to the International Science and Engineering Fair in Reno, Nevada. That's May 10th through May 16th.
Okay.
I want to go.
I do too.
Yeah.
Did
any
chaperones? I don't know. I'll ask.
Move to accept these field trips in advance.
Okay. Second. Moved by Mr. Karpik, second by Mrs. Anderson, that we approve the field trips in advance. All discussion?
I just wanted to know the names on the front of this are wrong. Names on the back are correct, but I think Mr. Overly used a previous one and forgot to change.
Oh, he may have.
Oh, he's pretty busy.
Yeah. And also, Betsy Arnold will be a part of the Happy Hollow group.
Yeah, I think she's on there.
I'm one of them.
She's right there.
She's on the field trip.
Yeah, the field trip. I'd just like to say that I think we should offer incredible congratulations to Matthew Campbell and Sarah Warren for this accomplishment, because this is a very big, that we have both the top two winners from the International Science Fair at Purdue were both West Side students. It is just awesome, and this is an excellent opportunity for them.
Absolutely.
To go. the boy that won this last year from this regional fair was a Lafayette Jeff student, I think, and he went to this, won his biochemistry division, ended up being invited to go to international meeting in Switzerland or Sweden, one of those names, and actually was given the opportunity to talk to Nobel laureates as well, and also he was there for a week with international experience. So this is really amazing for these kids. They should be very proud of themselves, and we should too. And I saw both their projects. Echo. They were excellent.
Echo your sentiments. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Field trips are approved. Acceptance of donations.
We have two donations. Representative Brown took the words at heart from Governor Daniels when the legislators gave themselves a raise. Representative Brown took his raise and passed it out to his constituents, to schools and other things. So he is graciously donating to us $1,000. And I'm recommending we accept that, and I'll send him a nice, we sent him a nice letter thanking him for that. And then $1,500 from the Round the Fountain Art Fair Incorporated for the Art Department. Great donations. Nice. And recommending your
We've got that every year for as long as I can.
That's really nice. Nice deal.
Move acceptance.
Second.
Discussion. I find the information on Tim Brown's handout here kind of amazing. The base pay comments, especially. All in favor of accepting the donations indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Approval of school-wide copier maintenance agreements. This is item I in your packet.
I have an opportunity to save some money, and so we'll take it. Looking at every opportunity to do that. We recently purchased a smaller replacement copier for the central office and shifted a larger one over to the high school, and the vendor that we purchased that from asked if they could do a survey of all of our other copiers, which they did, and they presented us results and showed us where many of our copiers are well over, parts on them are well beyond 1,000% of their lifetime expectation, meaning some of our current maintenance agreements are, they're coming and working on the machine, but they're not really replacing all the parts that need to be fixed. So bottom line, not every single machine would be at a cost savings, but the overwhelming cost savings amounts to about almost $500 a month. If we place all of ours but our Xerox machines with the same vendor, there are no more minimum usages on machines. In some cases, we had extremely large minimum usage, which we were never meeting. So basically, we were paying for something we weren't getting. I recommend it. This company has been very good to work with. It's Lafayette Office Systems. We have a 30-day opt-out with it. If it doesn't work, we opt out. We go back to previous vendors. We have to give a 30-day notice to existing vendors to cancel, but that gives them time to get geared up and get parts and things. They told us they would bring all of our machines up to proper working order when they come in, which normally they require that your copiers be in good working order. They're going to waive that for us because they realize we have some that are not in very good shape.
How many vendors did we have initially?
We presently have, I believe we're dealing with six or seven different vendors right now, which also is a paperwork nightmare for the business office.
And they will be given
They would be given 30-day notice that we would be ending their services. I don't think there is a risk for us in this. I think it's a very good opportunity. We've seen very positive things from Lafayette Office Systems. And I recommend approving the change in the agreements.
Moved by Mr. Marley, seconded by Mrs. Springer, that we approve the school-wide copier maintenance agreements. Comments? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Revised help lease resolution, item J.
I had a little trouble getting our health lease off the ground. We've discussed this at every meeting since November, I believe.
And then we come in and sign this.
We had this all lined up, and the bank that was doing our health leases moved out of the business in January midstream and shifted to a different lender. That lender has a little bit different paperwork than the other one, so the resolution that you approved in January needs to be reapproved with a different name of a financial institution in it. So all we're doing is asking to have you reapprove the help lease for Cumberland and Happy Hollow equipment and furnishings with the name of Regions rather than the Indiana Bond Bank.
So we need a motion to approve the revised help lease resolution?
Yes.
Okay.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Mrs. Rausch, seconded by Mrs. Anderson. Discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Information to the board. One thing I'd like to remind everybody of is the date of the Golden Apple Dinner. I hope that we all can attend, and I would like to ask Rocky or the board to send letters to all of our former Golden Apple winners. The percentage of winners in our small community is the highest, and I just think it would be nice to have a big turnout of former winners there. We have two winners this year, Mrs. Johnson and I forget.
Mrs. Poole.
It's the 21st.
20th.
It's a Monday, right?
Monday the 20th, I believe.
And we'll be paying our own way, of course. This is not a school board expense. So if we want to get a table together, or if you want to, whatever we decide to do, perhaps we can go through hell and then get this coordinated.
Because I know we need to RSVP by a certain...
Yeah, I didn't.
They sent the thing out this week.
I can drop a check off and stuff tomorrow.
I'll send you an email with an RSVP request.
All right. And then we can bring our checks in. Would it be easier? Well, we can just make them to the Greater Lafayette Chamber of Commerce and get it done that way. And then you can forward them all at once or something like that. Revised personnel report.
Recommending your approval of personnel report. We still there's a name missing off the Happy Hollow camp, and it's Betsy Arnold will go with them on that request.
The revised only has one section that has been added.
Is she for two nights as well?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
She's two nights for the second session.
Move approval of the personnel report as revised.
Second.
Moved by Mrs. Rausch, seconded by Mr. Karpik, that we approve the revised personnel report. Discussion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable, Brad. Go. Oh, he has no sticky tabs on his tonight.
I folded the corners.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. There you go. It saves on sticky tabs.
Okay, all right. We're all about saving paper.
Page 10. Gasoline purchases. $333. That would be a lot of gas.
First 10?
Page 10.
If I got to page 10, what's the... What
it
fund?
Would be...
First page 10? Which
you need the check number?
Which fund is it in?
I got it.
All of our vehicles that use gasoline, all of the maintenance vehicles, facilities, the red lunch trucks, that's for... I'd have to look at each individual receipt to tell you if there were some from a prior period or something, but we do have quite a few vehicles that use gasoline.
Okay.
And we can't use the gas at City Bus. We do use diesel. We use all their diesel at City Bus, but the gas is unable to be segregated out in their different tanks down there, so we do have to buy commercially, which does cost more than buying it at...
So they're just sending in a monthly system. Bill for...
Yes, that's a monthly bill. Yes.
Okay.
So that's probably 10 fill-ups, which would not...
Okay.
Probably not even 10 fill-ups based on the... that big red truck probably, I'd say, is $50 or $60 fill-up. And it probably gets, what, Larry? 3, 4, 5 miles a gallon.
On a good day, going downhill.
The wind behind it.
Drive downhill a lot.
Yeah.
I think Carl and Lori can get us electric vehicles, but...
Free.
They're working on it. We've discussed getting an electric vehicle.
Batteries plus. Page 11.
We use an incredible number of batteries.
I circled chemicals too, and I think the art supplies are self-explanatory.
I'm on the same page 11 as you.
Right after the gas page, right after gas.
There were batteries that had to be purchased for the computer system in the maintenance building where Larry Wood is held, and there are two backpack units that are, I would say they were about $80 or $90 for the combination of each of those, so it's like $160 for those. And the other batteries, facilities buys all of our batteries for our radios, the two-way radios, so that would have been what those were.
I'm not going to ask about the rats.
I know, that's an ongoing issue.
And the chemicals, we have a Photoshop that looks like...
Yes, we do.
Developing photos, the old black and white. Periodical renewals, is that for the library?
Media Center, yes.
Burgess Court, page 22, is that all boiler related?
Yes, and we have had a large...
I can circle all the boiler expenses.
The last couple of months we've had extremely heavy work on boilers, water heater, water softener, all of those different items.
So Connie, these are the actual repairs from the breaks we had due to the poor maintenance. This isn't part of the maintenance of...
No, this isn't preventive. This is all repairs. Yeah.
This was from the lack of a glycol.
We've had a large, extremely large number for this period of time.
And just to let you know, I am exploring legal remedies regarding this because we pay contractual maintenance contract. I've got our attorney looking into it.
Good. It seems like a really fundamental maintenance requirement.
Especially since we had a contract.
This is something that just happens in 6 months.
Exactly.
You know, they didn't tweak some buttons.
I'm very disappointed.
I don't even think they tweaked buttons, but...
They looked at some buttons.
I'm not sure. But as our attorney said, that we have to show that there was a negligence on their part or a breach of contract, and so that's what we're exploring.
We replaced the water softener. That's on page 25 at the bottom.
I believe that was repaired.
Oh, it says repair, sorry.
Yeah. No, the replacement's got $20,000, $25,000, if we end up having to replace it.
The nice part with Larry is he's finding all of these things, and he has been able to repair a lot more than we've had to replace, which I'm very thankful. Mm-hmm. Our value has been added because he is finding out these things and getting them fixed before we actually have to replace. And we would have spent millions of dollars if he hadn't found the maintenance issues with the boiler systems.
Desktop authority, script logic.
Software renewal, school-wide. That's what makes our computers run on. Essential.
Let's see, page 30, looks like expenses associated, I think, with the GOB, Odal, McGuire, and Shook.
Yes,
The last board meeting, there was a claim for $6.92, I think. Misty had missed the 3400 part.
Oh.
That was the rest of the bill from last week.
Okay, that's why I got my attention.
It was a fat finger issue.
It was a... Yeah. Their bills are very hard to read. We circle it.
Although we would have preferred the $6 bill.
We caught that actually before.
And then city has a fee, and then we've got legal fees.
Yeah.
Are those all capitalized inside the bond then? Are those
yes, they're all within the GLD.
Okay.
Anything that we had to pay prior, we will do adjusting entries for to take it out of the GLD.
Marco's pizza.
That's Friday
pizza party.
Is that where we buy?
That's Friday lunches.
That's a little lunch fund.
Okay. I'm almost through. Anyone else can chime in if they want.
We'll count on you.
Dig away, buddy.
I just remember one time I questioned Ron and it was Byron's salary. I'm going, what is this? Who are you?
That's a good question.
I am
Jake.
I am Jake. What is this?
You got all red.
I know.
I think that's all I have this evening.
Okay. I have just a couple.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's under general fund, page 15, NSBA registration again. And I know we might have talked about this already.
We did, and I asked again about this today when I was reviewing the claims. When we had the cancellations previously, we had a check written, but it included Rocky's registration. We had to void all of that out in order to not send that check in. Mm-hmm. And we finally got Rocky's cancellation, so we reissued a check to pay for it. But we've not double paid the cancellation fees. This is just one time.
We had to pay a cancellation fee.
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah. But that's better than the $800, $695,
right.
I think is what it was.
And, you know, I realize that you guys are doing everything you possibly can, but it just seems like it would be so nice to be able to, like on page 13 of the general fund, there's $4,800 in custodial supplies. Like, you know, we have our maintenance and custodial services outsourced. There's no way we can, like, just kind of
supplies.
Route this through Larry.
If it's
his own custodial supplies business.
Well,
but it just seems like there ought to be a way.
Yeah, if there's supplies, we've got to go through the general fund now. Larry is working on something to bring to you in the next month or so that could help us reduce those costs and reduce the number of chemicals that we have within our school district, and also provides chemical training on a, I don't know if it's a monthly, bi-monthly, or annual, biannual basis, but it's training opportunities connected with safe usage and reducing the number of chemicals that we use in our school district. And he'll be bringing that to you in a work session or two once we finalize everything and we compare costs.
And then my other question is on page 16 of the general fund, legal fees for Riley Teeter and whatever that is.
Sure.
Is that anything specific, or is that just kind of a non? Was that just for 1 month?
We had legal fees with was it the GOB or the health lease?
To approve the.
I mean, we have them. We have them review every contract, so we make sure that we're not getting into an issue.
Okay, that just kind of jumped out as a big number for 1 month.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And I've had him helping us with a couple of legal issues, pursuing some legal remedies for this maintenance stuff.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I have one.
Okay.
14. The
general fund?
Yes. Payments to glass for $99,000. Can you tell us a little bit about the process you use maybe to reconcile? I don't know if there's any sort of reconciliation for invoices from glass versus
each year
the service formula.
We meet, and we're getting ready to end of April. We meet with the board, and basically we review and receive their budget for the next year. And we receive a bill that's paid 3 or 4 times a year, and this is just one chunk of that for the services that they provide. They don't just bill us for one or, you know, little items that come up. It's a pretty much a whole year of services that they divide up over a period of time. Some of that comes from CPS, some of it comes from general fund.
But they provide teachers in our schools, they provide some aides in our schools, and they also have other ancillary services that are available to us that we don't directly pay. We would have to hire a $100,000 a year person to do some of the services that they can provide on an as-needed basis, but that's a part of the contract that we have with them.
But is there an accounting for, like, the service hours? And so at the end of the year, if the budget was put together...
Oh, you mean for their... to look at their budget? They do budget review, and we actually receive a printout of their budget every month, what they spend, so we can actually look at, and I do look at their financial reports to see, and we'll run down periodically and look at, I mean, you can see what the salaries are and everything that they do. And they're in the same situation we are right now, except I think they stand to receive a fairly large chunk of stimulus money.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that, we're hoping that's going to be passed on in savings to us, so.
Okay. And also Glass has approached me on doing some preschool programming at Cumberland. They have any extra classrooms, which could reduce those glass costs.
That would be good. Yeah, I suggested that we actually look at that as a rebate off of our expenditures, because that would reduce our appropriations, so that would help us in other areas.
Yeah. Who serves on that glass board? We have who's our person on the glass board?
Could be me.
Are you on the glass?
Oh, you know, last year.
I think there's somebody else.
Yeah, there should be.
It's me at the end of meetings.
Okay. Can we send Brad to look over there?
Yes. There you go.
They don't let me in.
We'll take it.
It's a brief meeting. It's just once a year.
Oh, that's why. Yeah.
I think that's why.
Okay. Any other questions? I can't remember if we have a motion on the table. I don't think we do.
Move to pay bill.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Marley, seconded by Mrs. Anderson, that we pay our bills. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Board and superintendent reports, community council.
We meet since our last meeting. I think we meet. We did, and discussing, it was just our usual discussion, although they are having the April 4th, where they're going to...
Border blast,
that's probably one of the biggest things that's going on. Larry, they're going to be cleaning the bricks. Is that still happening, Larry?
Yes.
Okay, with it at Burt's Field, and... I wish I had signed them up to do my gardening this year, but I didn't get that done. But they're very eager. I think it's really a good program, because there's a lot of kids that are eager to do it. So that's probably one of the things that came up, probably the most germane.
They're doing a nature center at Cumberland.
They are? Good.
Nice.
That's something we are taking advantage of, but we could do more.
Send them to my house as soon as you're finished.
My mulch.
Discussions?
Donnie? Yeah, we met March 26th, and Mike Turner and Connie was there to go over our budget and where we are now and where, you know, kind of the unknowns that we're dealing with. Of course, went through discussion of possible reduction in course, and I know I want to echo what you said, that, you know, we've been very open and very transparent, and I really appreciate that we've worked with administrators and teachers as a team to put everything on the table, and we're all working toward the same goal together. So I really, really appreciate now we're being, you know, very open about what problem solving. So we spent a great deal of time talking about that. Talked about the it is position, and how that would help our general fund, and summer school, and camps, and the strategic plan, and having teachers. Didn't get John on there, did you? he screamed when I told him I recommended his name. I'm on the calendar committee.
But did we get Mark?
No.
Okay.
When we thought he would actually make up three people all in one.
Right. The entire representative.
Right. Didn't go for that. And the grant writing, of course, that we're going to bring on board. So went very well. Next meeting is April 16th at 4 p.m.
Okay. Education Foundation?
Lots of discussion with some of the
financial issues, and there'll be, you know, there'll be much more public announcement about that here in the near term. That's been a major focus of the group here in our most recent meetings. There is another meeting, I believe, on the 8th or 9th of April. There'll be some things that will be going on in the middle of this month that directly pertaining to that.
Okay. And Glass, you had said that you guys haven't met. Health, wellness, I don't believe.
Yeah.
High ability, Karen?
Meeting on Monday.
Okay.
Coming Monday.
A legislative, Dottie?
Yeah, but first, I have to say this, because we haven't through the... I want to congratulate Matt Conaway. Our 6th grade and 7th and 8th grade bands went to Maconaqua and participated in a state competition. And I know the junior high band played in a Category 1. They played actually high school music. Both bands received gold with distinction. And I don't know, but I think it was the first time that honor has been given to a 6th grade band.
Yeah, I heard
this
that.
Is the
chance.
Second year in a row that he has gotten junior high gold with distinction.
Saturday.
And it just gives me chills when I hear that, just how phenomenal, how crisp, how wonderful this band sounds. And I walked past a judge's table, and he just put wow at the top of the page. So I don't know that we do enough to gush about just how phenomenal our band program is.
Spoken like a proud band parent.
That's right. You're one too. So anytime you want to go in and
phenomenal band program.
See the phenomenal band headline. Program we've got going on. It's just really, I'm just really blown away.
But when
legislative, yes. I was trying to avoid talking about that. Okay. The April forecast comes out April 17th, okay, which means April 9th is the last day for bills to be heard in committee. So the state's going to have to produce some sort of a budget before it really knows what the numbers are.
Of course.
Now, on the House side, it's doom and gloom and start shuttering your windows. The Senate side is a little more optimistic, thinking that they're going to take the stimulus money and kind of roll it into our funding formula. I have to get verification on that, because I thought about it after I heard it, and wait a minute. So they're going to crank out some kind of numbers prior to, but we won't really know the forecast, although I have heard it's not very good. I don't anticipate it to be. And I will get back to you, too, because Third House, we did, Tim Brown kind of did an impromptu town hall meeting the last 3-4 weeks ago to talk about education, and it created such a lively dialogue that they decided to devote an entire Third House to that subject with all of our legislators. So I will get that meeting to you, because it's not the next one, but I'll get that to you if you're interested in attending that, because I would like for you to attend that, just to get a really focus, because it really got all of the different tables involved at Third House really into this discussion. So the next Third House will be not this Saturday, but the following. So I continue. Senate Bill 491.
The Saturday before Easter?
Mm-hmm.
That's a Saturday.
Yeah.
The 11th.
Okay. So many people travel, that's all.
I will look that up.
Okay. Negotiations?
Well, before you get off legislation, okay, I need to let you know that we're probably going to have to explore revising our calendars, because we lost our in-service days with the new mandate from the DOE that we can't bank time and have the in-service days, that we would have to do that above and beyond the 180 days. Also, we have parent-teacher conferences built in, and I'm trying to get clarification of that, whether or not we can continue on with the way we currently have them set up, or if we have to have additional days in our calendar to do that. So
they can't legislate it. They tried it in the House.
Well, the governor has said that he would veto any, okay, any bill that comes to him that strips the power
any kind of compromise.
Yeah, any kind of compromise. Okay. Now, I don't know how this is going to play out, but I'm just letting you know that that's happening, and at some point we may have to have a further discussion on, I've got to start with the WLEA, of course, and the calendar committee and the Teachers Association to see what options we can come up with.
Okay. You and I have had that had been defeated in the House, and those that
they passed it in the House.
Yeah, the governor said though he would veto anything that would come to him that would change that edict from the DOE.
Yeah, because I got a heated call from Randy. You got it.
Two more days. Heated call for Randy.
So that would be for the 09
for testing.
Yeah, 2010. And I was trying to tell him that most schools have their calendars already set.
I told every one of our legislators I'm not opposed to having the 180 days and a full day of instruction. What I'm opposed to is not giving us enough advance notice to plan for it.
Exactly.
Because we already have our calendars done. I already have some in-service folks going to be working with us next year, and it would have been nice if they had given us a year notice so that we could have prepared.
Yep. Okay, negotiations, I assume.
We are still working on the insurance. We have an insurance meeting April 21. We are looking at bidding out our insurance to try to reduce insurance costs, another cost-saving initiative that we're trying to get accomplished.
Park board?
We'll meet on the 20th of April.
Okay. Neighborhood coalition?
Have not had notice yet of the spring meeting.
Okay, who's heading that up now?
I've not heard.
Okay. Public relations, we don't have anything there, do we? Public Schools Foundation?
Attended March 24th, 2009, Hyatt Center 645. We are in the process of developing a new strategic plan. They have four defined goals. One is to sustain a fiscally sound and financially stable organization. Where have we heard that? Increase public awareness and outreach, develop an infrastructure to support the foundation, and provide grants to educators in the three public school districts. So they're right in the thick of that right now.
Okay.
Nice job, Brad. Thanks.
Thank you. West Lafayette Purdue Community Partnership.
No meeting. I haven't received notice of the next meeting.
There's
at this
one
point.
Coming up sometime because I have it on the calendar.
I inquired.
I'll talk to you later. City Council, redevelopment, anything?
No, we have a meeting on the 14th.
Okay. Any other reports? Okay. Now, communication from the audience, non-agenda items. No one signed up for a non-agenda item.
I did. I've been both columns. If you look at
them. Yeah, that's right. She is.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought you addressed it already with the funding.
No, I don't like Mr. Rocky. That's something he mentioned at the parent council meeting about the possibility of a referendum for taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I can't get, I can't understand is you proposed a 10-cent increase. But I don't understand, if the state's not going to fund the school through property tax, how our community would somehow get money from the state from property tax when that's not the funding strategy anymore.
Yeah, the referendum would allow us to capture local property taxes, and that would come directly to us. It wouldn't be channeled to the state. In other words, if we did it, let's say, a 10-cent referendum and it was approved, what would happen is then on everyone's tax bill that would go to local property tax to the assessor or to the auditor, and then she would pass that along to us, and it wouldn't even be a state issue. Well, I mean, we still have to go to the tax control board.
Are there examples of where that's been done?
Lafayette did. They just passed one 2-3 years ago?
Okay. That set off the whole business of circuit breakers, which are a huge concern. I mean, that's a whole other thing. I wondered how far along you were in planning for that and what the legal costs are in considering something like that.
If you do it on an off-election year, which I would not recommend, the cost to the county could be anywhere to $100,000, $125,000 for a special election. If we were to do something like this, one, I think it has to be part of a strategic plan recommendation. I think a broad-based committee would need need to make that recommendation. Two, if we were to proceed with that, I think there would need to be a lot of meetings and discussion with community members about why we need to do it and try to answer a lot of questions. And then three, if we felt comfortable that there was support out there, I would recommend that we would put that on a time when there's actual voting going on, either in the May primaries 2010 or in the fall of 2010, so there's no additional cost to the county for doing a special election.
Lafayette did a year-long program.
What were the legal costs of creating a referendum? I mean, there have been examples, as you say, of Lafayette doing this. Do you know what they spent in legal fees?
I don't. I'd have to ask them. I mean, if it came out of the strategic plan and it came out that we wanted to pursue this, I'd quantify all of that and gather that information. It was just something that a patron brought up, and that's why I was responding to it. I wasn't suggesting that we do it. I was just responding to a question that a patron had suggested.
Oh, I thought it was further along.
Thank you. Any other? Kim?
The elementary chess club has 4 kids going to nationals.
Yes!
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Where is nationals?
Are you going with them?
No, not this time.
Are they
Nashville, Tennessee, I believe. I'll get more. Oh. I don't have, but when stuff's at the van, I was thinking.
I'm awesome.
We have recorders going on too. It'll probably be on TV before long. You know, food code. But anyway, I just thought.
That is
wow.
That's
national chess.
Amazing.
I don't know what the international
is.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Is that group by age level?
At some level, it doesn't matter what age you are.
Really?
It matters what skill level you are.
That is pretty cool.
At the local regional level, some of our children were winners over people older than they are.
Yeah. I went into a second grade class and one of the teachers had a second grader up and she was just asking questions. 9,872 times 3. You think for a moment and he'd tell you what it is.
And they can all do that.
I'm like, what?
Let me double check that.
Where? I need him in the budget office.
I also have a teacher that's going to dye her hair pink when they read. How many minutes was it? 93,000 or something.
They've only given them, she's only given them a few months to do it. Oh, that's a good challenge, though. It is. Oh, and it'll happen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Her hair will be pink. Okay. Future meetings, Wednesday, April 15th, executive session. Also April 15th, we have a work session here, April 29th, special board meeting. And the May 4th executive session has been deleted, eliminated.
Is the April 15th, is that going to work session, a special meeting? It's just a work session.
We're just going to discuss the budget. Okay. We'll hopefully have more numbers about the stimulus and where we are with the state budget. If we have any information, we're going to talk about programming, all the different options we're trying to explore financially to try to reduce general fund costs.
But you said that was also the date where the teachers are going to come.
Yes, and they can come and ask questions. Yeah, they can ask questions. You're not making any decisions.
Yep. And a work session is usually not one that's audience participation, but we've asked them to come specifically.
Yeah, if they have any questions, that's the night that we've identified to let them ask questions.
It's an open meeting.
Yeah, it's an open meeting.
Okay.
Moved by Mrs. Rouse, seconded by Mr. Springer. Discussion. All in favor of adjourning, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We are adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Miss Anderson, they
Thank you.
Don't do anything.
I mean, I felt bad.
They will come home.